Gail Ross is a Cherokee storyteller. Her great-great-great-grandfather was John Ross, chief of the Cherokee Nation during the infamous Trail of Tears. It was a horrifying episode in American history. President Andrew Jackson forced Native people off their land and sent them on a brutal trek that killed several thousand of them. For Gail Ross, it's a story that needs to be told and retold.
The state of Georgia passed a series of very vicious laws. No Cherokee could own a gun. No Cherokee could testify against a white man in court. Cherokees couldn't mine gold on their own land. Georgia carved up the land in a lottery and gave it away to white families. And Chief Ross appealed to the feds because, according to the treaties that we had signed, we could expect protection from them. And, of course, Jackson refused. And so we took it to the Supreme Court and Chief Justice John Marshall. Found on behalf of the Cherokee people. But Jackson became the only president to openly defy the Supreme Court when he refused to abide by that ruling.
Even though Marshall had ruled in favor of the Cherokee, Jackson forced the Cherokee Nation to move.
Well, he forced through a bill, right, called Indian Removal Bill. And what he refused to do in terms of Marshall's decision was he refused to honor the treaty to protect us from the Georgians. He said, quote, Marshall has made his decision, let him enforce it, which Georgia took as a license to burn.
Yeah.
And their murders and rapes and beatings.
I was sorry to see that General Winfield Scott was in fact the one who forced it through. At least his predecessor, to give us some sense of pride, resigned rather than...
Resigned, General Wool?
Yeah,
he resigned in protest once he got down there and saw what the actual work was. And I don't think Winfield Scott or really any of the other American forces that actually experienced it once they came into Cherokee territory and saw who and what our lives were like as Cherokee people, I think it was probably some of the hardest service that any of those soldiers had to endure. There was a letter that was very famous by a private named John G. Burnett, who said that later in the Civil War, he saw some of the bloodiest fighting, and still it did not compare to the heart-rending nature of serving in the roundup of the Cherokee people.
This is clearly a part of your heritage that still matters, and I suppose it provides some basis for the kind of storytelling that you do.
Well, it does, because I grew up away from the Cherokee Nation. My grandmother was born and raised in Park Hill, Oklahoma, which is right outside Tahlequah, but at the end of World War II, my grandmother and my father came to the Dallas-Fort Worth area for him to go to college, and he met and married my mother there. And my grandmother's stories, Cherokee history, and our family were what gave me a connection to being a citizen of the Cherokee Nation.
Are the stories that you tell now the stories that you heard your grandmother tell you?
Some of them are. Some of them are. I was 10 when she died. But, of course, I've been telling stories professionally for 25 years.
Well, will you tell us a story?
I will tell you one of the most traditional stories I know. I love this story. I told this story for years. In the days of the beginning of the world, the first man and the first woman were, of course, the first husband and wife. And in the first few days of their marriage, everything, of course, was wonderful. But you know, there comes a time when the honeymoon is over, and that man and that woman had a terrible fight. And the woman was so angry and so hurt by the angry words that her husband spoke to her that she turned and walked away. Once the wife had left, the man, well, the anger left his heart, and he was very sad. He started to cry. And Creator took pity on him and asked him why he was so sad. And the man said, "My wife left me." And Creator said, "Well, I've seen her. She's walking east. See if you can catch up with her." So the man began following his wife, but everyone knows angry women walk fast. So Creator said, "Well, I'll see if I can make her slow down." So Creator went ahead and found the woman, and he started placing all these beautiful kinds of fruit along the trail, thinking that the woman would be enticed to stop and eat, and then her husband could catch up with her. And the woman was so angry, she did not see anything to either side of her. And so finally Creator made this carpet of green vines that started growing along the trail. And these little white flowers formed. And then each of those little white flowers ripened into a berry that was the color and the shape of the human heart. and the woman stepped on them, and this wonderful smell rose. So she stopped and reached down and picked one of those berries, and it was as sweet as love itself. So she was walking very slowly, picking those berries, and her husband caught up with her, and you know, when she saw him, all she remembered was how much they loved each other. And Cherokee people say that that's how Creator put strawberries in the world. They're the color and the shape of the human heart. They're the sweetest tasting of all the berries. And they were put here to bring peace to quarreling men and women. And even today, traditional Cherokee women will keep a jar of strawberry jam, anything that's made with strawberries, in the house all year round. Even when the ripe, fresh strawberries are out of season, you'll find strawberries in a Cherokee kitchen.
What a wonderful story.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There seems to be a trend now for some of the native stories to be told by people who are not native. Does that bother you? Does it hurt the stories?
Yes, in a certain sense. In a certain sense, it does. I think that for a long time, Indian people have been defined from the outside. I'm very careful as a mixed-blood, assimilated Cherokee who does not a language speaker. I would never presume to speak to particular aspects of growing up Indian that are not mine. And I think that maybe non-Indian people, even the best intentioned, without a specific invitation and a specific given permission. No, I don't think non-Indian performers or non-Indian writers should exploit Indian material. When I started publishing children's books, I ran up against a lot of very well-known children's authors who make quite a handsome living just pillaging old ethnologist reports and anthropologist writings and turning them into cute little children's books, and they have no idea what they're messing with. To Native people, stories are living spirits. Stories are a part of how we create the world around us. Maybe one of the most important lessons that non-Indian people can learn right now is when not to just pick up anything and assume that it belongs to you.
Gail Ross is a Cherokee storyteller who lives in Fredericksburg, Texas.